Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Shall we stand together the book of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 21, down through verse 25. If you're unable to stand for health reasons, that's completely understood and you don't have to. But the rest, if you can, Luke 2, verse 21, down through verse 25. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now don't put verses 21 and 22 together. They are two separate happenings. Verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to read from the Word of God. And Lord, now as we have this time of lesson, that Lord, you would bless it and use it. Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand upon me and hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 21, at 8 days, there was a ceremony that all Jewish males had, and that was of circumcision. And at this ceremony, they would give the name, and his name was Jesus. Now, I find it interesting, we're talking about names just here for a moment, that Ethel Sasta gave me the message the other day that she had a grandson, and his name was Joshua Thomas. And somewhere between then, Mrs. Sasta, and today, his name got changed to Preston Jacob. Now, I don't know how you go from Joshua Thomas, and in 2 days you become Preston Jacob, but a name is important, isn't it? Now, how many of you would like to change your name? You would like to change it to something else. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hands. My hand is up. Now, my parents are in the room right now, and they know Paul is not my favorite name. In fact, I told both my sons, don't you dare name your son Paul. And they didn't. And no offense to my parents. They probably liked the name then, and they may still like the name now. But what's in a name? Well, Jesus was named before he was ever in the womb. Before he was ever conceived, the angel had told both Mary and Joseph that his name would be Jesus. And we know that it's a transliteration of the Hebrew word Yahshua, which is from the Old Testament of Joshua. And the name means the Lord is salvation. Now, this is a side note. How many of you like side notes? Well, this is a side note. Why was Christ born 4 years before Christ was born? When Christ was born, time was reckoned in the Roman Empire from the founding of the city of Rome. Now, do you understand what I just said there? Sometimes when I'm trying to communicate things to you, I know what I'm trying to say, but it doesn't always get to the back wall. What I'm trying to say is that time was not from any other thing, but from when Rome was built. And so it was 1 year from when Rome was started and 2 years from when Rome was started, etc. Well, when Christianity became the religion of the Roman world, a monk at the request of the emperor made a new calendar in the year 526 AD. So ponder this. It's hard for us to think of 526 AD when we're in 2013. But he made this calendar back to the birth of Christ, which is what we have today. We have BC before Christ, and then the AD is after Christ's coming. But long after the Christian calendar had replaced the Roman calendar, It was found that the monk had made a mistake, and he had placed Christ's birth at 753 years following the Roman, when it should have been 749. And so it was off by a few years, but so be it. By point of interest, Jesus' birthday is celebrated on December 25th, but there is nothing in the Bible to indicate it. This date first appeared as Jesus' birthday in the 4th century in the West, and in the East it was January the 6th. And so though the birth of Christ is important to the new church, to the founding church, there was no great importance put upon it. Verse 22 tells us they went up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And it talks about the days of her purification. 41 days for a male and 81 days for a female. I guess it took her longer to be purified after the birth of a female. I'm not sure why that was, but of interest, not only was there this purification, but there was a legal ordinance that also had to take place according to Numbers 16:18. And that was the firstborn son of every household was, according to the law, to be redeemed of the priest at the price of 5 shekels. And so if you had a son, it cost you 5 shekels, the firstborn son. But that's all kind of introduction now to our message, beginning at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. Now, if you're the type that underlines your Bible or uses one of those colored type markers on your Bible, I would like to encourage you to underline, behold, there was a man. And thank God for godly men. Now, we live in a world today where our men usually are looked at as being stupid, immature, wanting to fart all the time and burp all the time and watch football all the time, and that's all they're good for. But may I say this, God has a better plan for men, and that is that you serve your Lord. That is His plan, is that you honor Him in your life, and may I say this, ladies, you are to also honor your Lord and Savior. That's why you're here. Even though today's world says, well, the reason you're here is to make a lot of money. Money yet isn't going with you, folks. The only thing you can take to heaven with you are your kids. May I say this, though it's nice to have money, that's not what it's all about. There are a lot of big homes in the area, but it's not just about the size of your house or how fast your car is or how many pieces of jewelry you have in your jewelry box. It's about what you do with Jesus Christ. And there was a man. Are you a man of God? We think of Abel, who offered a more excellent sacrifice. We think of Enoch. He had this testimony that he pleased God. We have Noah, who moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his family. We have Abraham, who obeyed and offered up Isaac, believing that God would raise him from the dead. We have Joseph, who was moral and diligent. We have Moses, who made the right choice. We have Joshua and Caleb, who trusted in the Lord Jehovah. We have Samson, who got it right in the end. We have David, who ran to meet the giant with confidence in his Lord. We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 3 that stood as one when the multitude was bowing. We have Daniel, who prayed openly in the face of persecution. We have Jeremiah, who warned when no one wanted to listen. We have Joseph, the father of Jesus, the earthly father, willing to bear the insults when he took Mary to be his wife, even though she was pregnant. We have Peter, who served God until he was crucified. We have Paul, who endured persecution, dying for the faith on more than one occasion. There was a man, and this man's name is Simeon. Thank God for men of God who live by the word of God, who attend the house of God, and who love the Son of God. Could that describe you? Are you one who loves the Lord, who loves the house of God, the Word of God. As Joseph and Mary have returned from the part of the temple where they had presented Jesus to the Lord, they are met by a venerable figure, one that I'm sure was well known not only in the temple, but also in the city. His name was Simeon, who combined the three characteristics of Old Testament devotion: justice, the fear of God, and the longing expectation of the coming Messiah. Justice as regarded his relationship and bearing to God and man. The fear of God in opposition to the boastful self-righteousness of the Pharisees, and the longing expectancy of the coming Messiah. Number one, he was just. Well, what's it mean to be just? It means to be impartial. Most of us are not impartial. Most of us think that if our children do one thing, it's okay, but if another kid does it, they are considered, now we say, misbehaving. Many times we are not fair in our judgments. We're not accurate. We're not honest. But he was just. Habakkuk 2:4b says, "But the just shall live by faith." Some call Habakkuk the great grandfather of the Reformation. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Simeon had this testimony that he was just. Galatians 3:11 says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Hebrews 10:38a, "Now the just shall live by faith." Martin Luther, not to be confused with tomorrow, which is Martin Luther King Day, but Martin Luther, tired of the corruption of the Roman Catholic Church, her desire for power, poverty, and money, her false teachings of purgatory, indulgences, the selling of so-called religious articles, the talk, the preaching and teaching of Mary being more than just simply a human used of God, and her teachings of works-based salvation, believed the scriptures, but the just shall live by faith. Are we living today by faith? The just shall live by faith. Simeon had this testimony that he was just and he was devout, meaning godly, devoted, prayerful, dedicated. But can someone be devout to something else other than a deity? Well, of course they can. I've been devoted to my wife for nigh on 39 years. We're going to be celebrating 40 years in 2013. Now, that's a good thing. Hey, I'm happy already. You can be devoted to the Red Wings. Oh, well, not so far in 2013, but better days lay ahead, folks, for the Red Wings. Hey, you can be devoted to a lot of things, but are you devoted to the Lord number one? Is he your number one item in which you are devoted? He was devoted. He was patient. Is patience something that you do well? I am not by nature very patient. I guess when I was born, patience was left out of the mixture. It's not very big in my DNA. How many of you, like me, look to see which cash register you think is going to go the fastest? The cashier, yes, I do. I had to stop looking at the other lines, though. It got me frustrated if I was wrong. I'm not by nature patient, but he was patient, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation, the comfort, the relief, the encouragement, the coming Messiah. And he is waiting. And number four, we find, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was totally attuned with his Lord. He was in accord with the Lord Jehovah. He was waiting for the Lord to come. Verse 26 says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Jesus was his name. Christ was his title, the Messiah. And he would not see death. So he had two things revealed, that he should not see death until a certain thing happened. And that certain thing was that he should see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. In the Old Testament, we have an example of this. The flood was coming, but it couldn't come until Methuselah had died. His name meaning, it shall be sent. And Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. I would not want to live to be 969 years. Can you imagine? Now, I guess if people lived that long, I wouldn't be worrying about 60, would I? No. Let's begin reading at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. I pause for you to say amen. Some of you didn't catch that. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Folks, most of us in this room, in fact, I would dare say 99.9% of us are Gentiles. And this is a light to lighten the Gentiles. I pause for you to say amen. Salvation doesn't just come to the Jew. It comes to the Gentile also. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He came, not by chance, but by the moving of the Spirit. You know, you're here for a reason. It's not by chance. Something that was said or is said or going to, something that was sung or may be sung will touch your heart to make me, maybe make you a better person. Simeon, he took up Jesus in his aged arms and blessed God. Can you see it now? This older gentleman, he has been there for years waiting for Christ to come. And when he sees him, he's excited and he goes over. I don't think he ran. But he went over and he took the child and embraced the child and raised him up. The Messiah, he's come. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. As we said in Sunday school, there are many religions, but there's only one way into heaven. There are many who are trying other ways, but there's only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Thank God for his unspeakable gift, a light to lighten the Gentiles. The Gentiles were in darkness, needing a way of salvation, but the same way that gets a Jew into heaven gets a Gentile into heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is the one that will lead us there. And not only is a light to lighten the Gentiles, but the glory of thy people, Israel. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That is through the Jewish people, through Abraham, who was the first Hebrew. Then we have Jacob and those that came through him, and through them would come Jesus, and all nations of the earth could be blessed through Jesus Christ. We may note the prophecy to Mary Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Jesus would be crucified and she would be at the cross and she would see her son rejected of man and hung upon a cross. The cruelty of the crucifixion. Herbert Lockyer writes, "The man who died satisfied." You know, I hope that when I die, it's in my sleep. I hope that I can say that I died satisfied. See, this spectator of the most significant birth of all history, endued with prophetic spirit, kept the lamp of prophecy burning when religion was at a low ebb in Israel. Simeon, which means one who hears and obey, he was the one who said, our eyes have seen him. But Lockyer asks, have your eyes seen the salvation of the Lord? Can you die in peace? How are you today spiritually? If as you're walking out to the parking lot, suddenly there's a pain in your left arm, it shoots to your heart, you grasp for it, you scream out, "I love you," to those around you, and you're dead before you hit the ground. Are you ready to see the Lord of the universe? Have you prepared yourself to see him? This is what one would call the swan song of Simeon, who was not ashamed to declare that the one born in the city of David was the Savior of the world. Are you ashamed of your Lord? Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? There are many who are. They don't want to pray at McDonald's when they're having their McDouble. They don't want to pray at school in the cafeteria. They're at work. They never let anybody see them pray. They put their hands up in front of their eyes and say a quick prayer for their food. They're ashamed. We should not be ashamed of our Lord and Savior. He was better than the letter-learned scribes of his times, who were going to look upon Christ as a stumbling block and a rock of offense. He eagerly anticipated Christ's first advent, and we are to be found patiently waiting for his second advent. I'd like to read something to you that I came across in my notes in preparing for this sermon. It's from the 1001 Thoughts from my library, by D.L. Moody. There was a man whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Someone has written beautifully of Simeon as follows. What Simeon wanted to see was the Lord's Christ. Unbelief would suggest to him, "Simeon, you are an old man. Your day is almost ended. The snow of age is upon your head. Your eyes are growing dim. Your brow is wrinkled. Your limbs totter, and death is almost upon you. And where are the signs of his coming? You are resting, Simeon, upon imagination. It was all a delusion." "No," replies Simeon, "I shall not see death till I have seen the Lord's Christ. I shall see him before I die." I can imagine Simeon walking out one fine morning along one of the lovely vales of Palestine, meditating upon the great subject that filled his mind. Presently, he meets a friend. "Peace be with you. Have you heard the strange news?" "What news?" replied Simeon. "Do you know Zacharias the priest?" "Yes." "Well, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense in the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without. It was the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel standing on the right side of the altar, who told him that he should have a son, whose name should be called John, one who should be great in the sight of the Lord, who should go before the Messiah and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The angel was Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And because Zacharias believed not, he was struck dumb. Oh, says Simeon, that fulfills the prophecy of Malachi. This is the forerunner of the Messiah. This is the morning star. The day dawn is not far off. The Messiah is nigh at hand. Hallelujah. The Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. Time rolls on. I can imagine Simeon accosted again by one of his neighbors. Well, Simeon, have you heard the news? What news? Why, there's a singular story in everybody's mouth. A company of shepherds were watching their flocks by night on the plains of Bethlehem. It was the still hour of the night. The darkness mantled the world. Suddenly a bright light shone round the shepherds, a light above the brightness of the midday sun. They looked up, and just above them was an angel who said to the terrified shepherds, "Fear not. I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." "This is the Lord's Christ," said Simeon, "and I shall not taste death till I have seen him." He said to himself, "They will bring the child to the temple to present him to the Lord." Away went Simeon morning after morning to see if he could get a glimpse of Jesus. Perhaps unbelief suggested to Simeon, "You had better stop at home this wet morning. You have been so often and have missed him. You may venture to be absent this once." "No," said the Spirit, "go to the temple." Simeon would no doubt select a good point of observation. See how intently he watches the door. He surveys the face of every child as one mother after another brings their infant to be presented. "No," he says, "that is not he." At length he sees the virgin appear, and the Spirit tells him it is the long-expected Savior. He clasps the child in his arms, presses him to his heart, blesses God and says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." When he does appear and we see him as he is, ours should be the thrill of Simeon, who experienced this great joy upon Christ. Will you experience that great joy? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Let's stand together if you would, please. Have you surrendered your heart to him? Or are you fighting it? Are you following him faithfully? Or are you serving him faithfully yourself? We're going to sing 394 in just a moment, "I Surrender All." Have you surrendered your heart to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you prepared to meet your Maker? Is there a joy in your heart in knowing Christ? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this day. And Lord, we thank you for this one named Simeon, who waited joyfully. Lord, may we wait joyfully for you to come. May we know thee as Savior. And if there is one here today, Lord, who may have religion but doesn't have salvation, may they have that salvation even today by coming and asking for you to be their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.